everyone, and welcome to the Indie Film Review with your hosts, Dan, that's me, and Jared.
Hey, what's up, dude?
Hey, bro, I am fine. What's how up, are bro? You? Thank you for asking. Thank you for asking how I am. I believe we have a lot on our plate today.
No, yeah, we did a short and we did a full-blown movie. Who would have thought?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun to talk about them. But, all right, so we watched the short film.
Can I get that again? Can I just cut? Can we take that last line again?
I don't remember what I said.
You're like, a permatermer. Oh, okay. Yeah, no. You got it.
I'm sorry. I'm just talking in circles. All right. So we watched a short film called Home Movies.
That's right.
And we watched a feature length film called
The Eve.
Yeah. We're not going to tell you what Eve it is. That's a spoiler.
That's right. Spoilers. Careful. So, Home Movies. Dan.
Yes.
Adult Swim.
Yeah, that's what Home I thought movies. Of too. Man, it's
Brendan.
So...
Brendan. Coach McGurk.
Coach McGurk is the best.
What do you think?
That whole show is genius. It's like, that's the awkward humor that I like.
Oh, that. So good. Just for the simple fact that this short made me think of Home Movies again on Adult Swim. Thank you. Mwah, 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 mwah. So good. So anywho, Home Movies was suggested to us by Krista, and it is a New Mexico short film, and yeah, it's like maybe 10 minutes long, but what were your thoughts on it, Dan?
My thoughts are it was a short, happy little film. It was well acted. It was just disturbing enough to really get my gears going because I like weird, disturbing movies. It's a very real scenario, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like somebody somewhere has done this before and had to go through this. But the chemistry between the actors was fantastic. It's a short film, so like nothing was incredibly upsetting to me. It was competently put together. Like the cinematography is all right. The editing was fantastic. It's only like 10 minutes long.
Mm-hmm. So I love the way this movie was filmed.
Mm-hmm.
I love that like grainy feeling that old timey. I don't know what it is, but it. I love the way the camera filmed the action in this. It looks nice. I thought the actors, I agree, were great. They were so awesome. Acting in this was good. I thought the jokes worked.
Jokes worked a lot because I laughed at every one of them.
It's like they made the short for us.
Well, like, you know what's like, because, okay, so in this film, there's like a statue of St. Peter, apparently, and he's shaped like a penis.
Mm-hmm.
And they make jokes with it. I'm not going to spoil the jokes. Go watch the film because it's great. But I've seen similar statuettes.
Yeah, me too.
Of religious figures as penises.
It's strange.
It's a weird
thing. That's like a fertility... like voodoo.
Yeah.
Isn't that like occult stuff, but yet people have those in their homes and then they're religious? I don't know. It's confusing to me. Tell everybody what the film is very briefly without spoilers.
Spoiling it.
It's
so basically, yeah. It. So these two adults, a boy adult and a girl adult.
A boy adult and a girl adult. They're brother and sister, you weirdo.
A man and a woman, brother and sister. They've been tasked with cleaning out their dad's office study because he has just passed away. So they're going through all of his old stuff. And they happen upon a box of old home movies. And that's all I'm going to say.
That's all I'm going to say. And then they go through them and it's pretty awesome.
And they laugh.
So yeah, I really enjoyed this movie.
Family.
You too. Oh boy. Taboo. So yeah, I like this movie a lot. That was great. It's a cute little film.
I wish I could say more, but I really want more people to watch it. Like,
yeah, like I could say more, but I think we did such a good job of not spoiling the film.
Yeah.
I don't want to go into the spoiler stuff of it.
Yeah.
Just find Home Movies if you can. Honestly, it's great.
We'll promote it once we think it's public. We'll throw it out there.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was wonderful. So, okay, let's go on to the main course, my friendo bendo.
Main course.
That's
Does
right.
Does this include the email, or is the email later?
Oh, yeah, let's take care of this email. So, oh, man, I had this whole bit where I was going to pretend again this person was a fan of ours, but now I just think this shit's sad. And I want to read this, and it's very short, and I'll read my response because I thought it was funny. So, okay. Tina Rosatia, sure, says, "Greetings to you, dear friend. I presume you are doing well over there. Glory to God. Meanwhile, I am Tina Rosatina from Bandung, Indonesia. I seek a long-lasting friendship. Please write back to my email. And why I want you to reply to me is because I have a very important something I have to talk with you, and I know you will like it. It's so much. Okay, so please reply me." Oh, well, I did reply. All right. "Dear Tina, since you are a dear friend who is seeking long-lasting friendship, I think your first step should be to listen to every episode of the Indie Film Review podcast and tell every single person in Bandung, Indonesia about the show and why they should also listen to every single episode. Here's a link to accomplish your new friendship mission." And I sent her a link because I knew she was going to send me a bunch of links. And I said, "Thanks in advance. God bless. IFR." As you can imagine, she sent me a bunch of spam bullshit that triggered all of my malware alarms and were like, "Please do not click on any links."
Let's talk about this movie.
Absolutely. So Dan, please give us a 20 second. We need an extra 10 seconds on that bitch. 30 second elevator pitch. Go.
All right. So a group of college what's-its. Friends, maybe. they go to Martha's Vineyard to one of them. Their parents own like land or like a cabin on Martha's Vineyard, and they're gonna go spend New Year's Eve up there. But little do they know, psycho killer up there that's gonna stalk them one by one and murder them.
That's right.
But
so spoopy.
I want to say this film makes it so apparent that these couples are so awkward.
Yeah.
They're a motley crew if I've ever seen one. A kaleidoscopic group, if you know what I mean. A disparate gathering, oh my God. Maybe a heterogeneous crowd? Hmm? They don't mix is what I'm trying to get at.
Jesus Christ. I was wondering where this bit was going. It's true, though. That is absolutely true.
They make it so painfully
I think
obvious.
One of the strengths of this film is how well they show the couples not getting along.
Oh,
and the,
I thought
the
that
awkwardness
was...
and the tension.
And that was one of the weaker parts of the
really?
Film. Only because... So they make it so that it is awkward for them, but the way they go about doing it feels so painful and unrealistic.
Okay, well... Here's the thing. I didn't really like this movie very much. So when I say this is the best aspect of the film, it's because the rest of the movie was rough. So I'm trying to find positives before
I see what you're saying. Well, okay, yeah. They made it so that the characters are very much at ends with each other, but I think part of the problem of this film is they chop 10 minutes off of it to get like a shorter
they get
a shorter runtime for a feature film. It's only an hour and 20. They could have added a little bit more exposition to kind of get us behind all the characters a little bit more.
Yeah.
To that effect, I can't say I really like the film either, but I enjoyed watching it. Like, it's a shitty horror movie that I would watch with friends. Kind of like that.
Let's do questions.
Okay.
So, this is kind of building on what you were saying earlier, but did you not think... Well, what did you think of the acting in this movie, I guess?
It was strange. Scott did a very lovely job. I don't know that actor's name. Most of them did a really good job. Scott was great. I'll pull up the actors' names. They all did fantastic work. I cannot say anything bad about the acting, but the scenarios in which these people are placed felt so surreal and unrealistic that might be why somebody would say that this was bad acting. But the acting was serviceable. It was fine. I liked it.
Like, there are certain moments that I don't know if it was the... I feel like it's more the directing and the writing's fault than the actual actors.
Exactly.
It's like, we gotta do what we gotta do. Exactly. Because I thought all the actors were pretty freaking good, especially Scott, who is played by Al Thompson.
Yeah.
This guy stole the show. And the worst part is he's not in the movie for that long.
I know.
Here's what I'll say. This movie worked for me with the four characters until there were three characters. And then I checked out hard. As soon as Al Thompson was gone, Scott, I was like, this movie's not working anymore. He held the film together. It was kind of amazing.
So I don't know, because all the questions I have, Jared, are questions that relate to the film. Okay. So I don't know how we should go about asking my
questions. We can get into spoilers right now. Have you gone over most of your general feelings about the film first? Is there any other aspect of the film you'd like to talk about before we get into spoilers? And we'll
looks beautiful. Like, a lot of the shots they get are, like, amazing shots. I mean, they're filming in Martha's Vineyard, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Photography, but I don't know. I've never been to Martha's Vineyard. I wouldn't be able to tell. So wherever they are filming, if it is Martha's Vineyard, it's really, really pretty, and I liked it. The cinematography had a lot of interesting choices in it. Like, the ending scene where we have, like, the long take of them going backwards through where they came. Mm-hmm. I liked that scene a lot. But the biggest issue with this film is I don't understand the motive of the killer.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, I didn't really understand the point of the movie. Like, okay, I guess killers don't need to have a motive per se, but they tried to establish a motive. And because they tried, I kept thinking about it and nothing made sense.
Here's a question for you. Did you think it was super obvious who the killer was?
Not for a while, no. Okay.
I kind of figured it out immediately because of the opening scene with the little girl. And I was like, oh, that's what's going on. And after that, it's like, if you already know what's going on, you're kind of like just waiting for the movie to end.
Right.
And here's what it is. So, okay. The cinematography and the directing, I know I mentioned this earlier and I said maybe there was an issue, but for the most part, it was good. Like, this is a very well-made film in that aspect. There was maybe one scene where there's like a music issue where they transitioned to a shower, and it was like an awkward cut there. That was probably the only time I was like, it was jarring where I got taken out of the film. The rest of it was very competently made. I think where it really misses the mark is when they're trying to film drama or suspense.
Yeah, so let's speak on the drama
a little bit. The director or, you know, just all the filmmakers in general, they could not convey suspense or drama at all.
Let's talk about the drama a little bit. This is what we mean by drama being lost. So in your typical slasher film, there are tropes. There's like a very clear narrative in typical slasher films. It's formulaic. People have been doing it since the 70s, maybe earlier. And it's great. It's a tried and true. It's a tried and true method, and you know, you can hold my attention with a slasher any fucking day. Now, one of the parts of a slasher film is the opening banter of the characters that are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Three.
Yes, absolutely.
The opening banter of this film was so dumb and dry that, of course, it's going to take me a while to get into the camera or into the camera work and the actors and anything like that, because I'm just listening to people go on and on and on about the songs. I think it was like they were talking about music for a long time.
The New Year's Eve song.
Yes. They were talking about how certain holidays get a song and certain holidays don't. Yes. And
I'll defend this.
Okay, please do.
Because I do think some of this was laying in, like, a lot of this banter in the beginning was really servicing what the theme was trying to be, or the plot. Right. And I will also say that the main characters are not unlikable, which now, is normally in a slasher, they're all pieces of
right.
shit.
Right. Well, you hate them all. To be fair, Scott's kind of unlikable, but he's also likable. It's
weird. He's charming. He's
charming, but a douchebag.
He's a rascal.
Rascal. I believe he actually says that in the film. I don't know.
He's a rascal.
The issue with this opening banter is it's good, and I hear your argument of it being necessary and touching on the themes that we're talking about.
Yes.
But they could have given us that information in a different format. They could have made it not banter, because the way that they were bantering about it, it was so dry and not something anybody would talk about, I don't
think. So it felt unnatural to you.
Yeah, it felt like these people wouldn't be talking about this thing right now.
Well, here's how I feel about it. So in the beginning, I felt more susceptible to the film and what it was trying to do. And like I said, as soon as one of the first characters leaves and they start doing these one-on-ones with each of the characters, that's when the film really lost me. I was like, well,
before he
we're
even
already
leaves.
Past the 30-minute mark, you know? Like, come on. Before, let's get into the action. Let's
before
get into
Scott,
the drama.
Yeah. You know what? Let's get into the action. Let's get into the drama of this podcast. We're going to start spoiling things.
All right, guys. So, The Eve, we saw it on Amazon. We're going to spoil this movie. So, this is your spoiler warning. It is a warning for spoilers. Here it is. Okay, Dan, go for it.
All right, so the girl, there's four people. You have
yes.
Scott, his girlfriend, Harrison, and his new girlfriend that's kind of new to the group.
You want all the names?
Yes.
So you have Scott and Jen, who are on again, off again.
And
you
Harrison
know.
And Lacey, I believe.
Yes, Lacey is the blonde girl. Harris is the curly-haired white guy.
Yes. So Lacey's the killer.
So Lacey's the killer.
Let's talk about how it works and how it doesn't work.
Oof. All Dan, right. I gotta say, this bush has not been beaten at all, because you are not beating around it, my friend.
Well, there's just so much that we need to say about it, and I don't think I can do that without addressing first that this person's a killer. So,
absolutely.
You know how you said at the beginning where you kind of guessed it?
Oh, yeah. I figured it out really fast.
Now, the rest, I didn't figure it out really fast like that, but the rest of the film, I figured out really fast, and it was very annoying to watch this film catch up to itself. Because from the get-go, and this is where I have a problem with it, from the get-go, it is painfully obvious that Lacey has a crush on Scott.
Yeah.
Painfully obvious. And then she finally gets him alone and kisses him, and then all of a sudden, it's Scott's fault. Like,
yeah.
Everything in the film can be blamed, rightfully so, on Lacey, but it's Scott's fault the entire time,
well,
according to the other two.
The reason it was Scott's fault is because Scott and Harris are both in a business deal that went sour.
Yes.
Where Harris lost 25 grand, his life savings, into this business deal that totally failed. So he's already mad at him. And then Jen is like the ex-lover of Scott. And she already knows that he's a fucking rascal and he cheats and he messes around with other girls or whatever. He's supposed
Scott
to be trying to get back together with Jen. Go ahead.
Scott apparently has a girlfriend during all of this.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So it makes sense that all the characters immediately blame Scott without even thinking about what actually happened.
We also have to look at Harris, because Harris, out of everybody, gets the shittiest end of the stick in this entire film. Like, he's the victim of Scott. He's the victim of Jen, and he's the victim of Lacey. Like, every single character.
He felt very unbelievable, because, like, the things that were happening to him and the way he would rationalize it, especially with this girl that he had only been on like one date with. He's like, you know, I think I love you. I think I'm, I'd do anything for you. Like when you were missing and when Scott kissed you, it's like, oh no. I'm like, really? This guy has like no self-esteem. I don't know. It felt really strange that he couldn't put two and two together faster. But I don't know. I thought he was a smarter character than like earlier on. He seemed more intelligent, and then later on, everyone just gets real dumb for the sake of the plot. Okay, the very beginning of this movie, it has a man sitting in a couch. He's got a knife in him. He's dead, and a little girl sitting in the corner. And she is, like, crying and, like, you know, you're realizing something bad happened. That man, that father was trying to do something bad to his daughter, and the girl stabbed the man. So you're like, okay, this is interesting. And then they start playing the New Year's Eve song, which I quickly realize I hate. I hate the New Year's Eve song. Oh no. And they play it a lot. Because this movie revolves around New Year's and new beginnings.
And all the neighbors getting drunk to the tune of Auld Lang Syne.
So we had that opening scene, like I said. Right. And then we cut to these characters. You're like, okay, what's going on? What's going on? Because the rest of the film feels 100% different than what the opening was. The opening felt like a classic 80s horror movie. And then the rest of this was very modern. It felt like a 2000s, 2010s type. That's not even modern anymore. Oh, my God, I'm old.
I would argue that this felt like the opening felt like a 70s horror movie. Like,
yeah, okay.
There's this kind of strange, abstract feeling that you're getting. Like this eeriness in the song plus the guy being stabbed. Mm-hmm. And the girl crying, like, these are themes that were, like, very much part of, like, the 70s slasher movie.
That intro got me hyped for the film, and then I was still kind of on board for the first 30 minutes, but I will say, like, I was like, where did that magic go? Like, why are we, what is going on here? Because this film is dull. It's kind of boring. And that's a big fault of it as well, where just, like, things are happening, but it's really not holding your attention, and that is the biggest fault of this film, is there's not enough drama, and then, oh, okay.
Before you go any further.
Go ahead. Sure.
I have a contradiction. I don't think that's the biggest fault in this movie.
Okay.
This movie, like, pulls its pants down for you.
Oh.
And gets embarrassed all on its own. Without even needing us to do any pantsing for it. Here's where the film catches itself in its own bullshit.
Okay.
So, think about Lacey's character throughout the entire film. Think about her relationship with Jen. What would you
and
consider
how dumb that? And weird she is.
Yeah, well, how her relationship with Jen, like, what do you think about that relationship?
She desperately wants to be Jen's friend.
And Jen says...
Yes? I don't remember.
No, not really. Jen is, like, very standoffish
the entire
time. Oh,
distant. Yeah.
And there, like, has been nothing but tension and, like, all this arguments and just all this
and
terrible thing.
And she says she loves these people.
And then, exactly, that her exact quote is, you guys seem so inviting. I'm like, did you act in the same movie that I just watched?
Yeah.
Because none of them were inviting to you.
Well, that's how you know
none
she's crazy.
She's fucking...
She's out of her mind.
You're right.
And the biggest tell of that she's out of her mind is when she kisses Scott. Because, like, whoa, what the fuck? You know? And it made me think, oh, she's trying to do this on purpose to get them all killed. And, like, she's pretending to have her leg hurt, and she's pretending and doing all these things. It just, when she did that, it was so obvious after Scott was found dead that she was the killer. And it took so long for the movie to finally let us know. Here's what I think. Because they have that whole beach scene where, like, they all go and, like, they find Scott. They're like, oh, no, Scott! And I don't know if
that
lasted acting,
way too long.
That scene was terrible. That's when the movie really started going downhill, is that scene had no emotion to it. No stakes. Like,
see,
it was
I
like they found
the
out they got a
in
parking
it, but I
ticket.
I felt like it took a little bit too long and the emotion petered off.
It was, boy, that was a rough, because, like, he just looked like he was a dude sleeping on the beach, and they run up, and they're like, oh, no, it's gone. It was not good. Boy, oh boy. I had more to say, but I lost it. Dan?
Yes.
Do you have any closing thoughts?
It had a moment that was perfect for making fun of.
Okay.
And it's towards the end where, like, you know, shit's already gone down. People are dying. And they're afraid for their lives. And the red herring enters the cabin.
So many red herrings.
Well, the red herring. You know, Joe, I think his name was?
Yes.
So there's this guy who takes care of the house while the people are away. And Scott invites him over for drinks, and then he finally wanders over there around like 2 a.m, and they're all freaking out, and they're like, why are you here? He's like, oh, you know, and they just let him in.
Yeah.
They just let him in.
Mm-hmm.
They just let a stranger into the house. The person that they think is the killer, they let him in to the house. I just want to.
And the heroes, the guy's holding a poker the whole time, like a weapon. And the other guy is acting totally, like, everything's totally normal. They're still having a party.
That's what I was making fun of so much.
What the fuck is going on?
He would just ramble on and on and on, and then it would cut to them looking at him suspiciously.
Wouldn't they realize something is up? Like, anyone.
But what I'm saying is, like, it was filmed, like, I don't know, it's a comedic effect, but it was definitely funny. They would film him talking, and then cut to them looking at him suspiciously. They cut to him looking at him suspiciously. And then they would cut back to him, and he would just pause and look at them and then keep talking.
Here, best thing about this is that Harris actually does kill this dude who is innocent, and I thought that was really good. Just the way they got to that was stupid. Like, this movie, it just gets dumber and dumber as it goes, more and more unbelievable. Here, I'll give you an example of this film and how it fails. So you have Jen and Harris. They're like, we're gonna go look for Scott, he's missing. And they go, and Lacey's like, oh guys, I want to just stay back because I'm gonna stay behind. And they're like, okay, you stay here, we're gonna go find him. And then they go off into the woods, they're heading towards the beach or whatever, and then this is 3 seconds later. We get a Lacey jump scare from behind to scare these two characters. And she's like, oh, I got too scared when I was at the house. I want to come with you guys. And it was like, what was the fucking point of her staying behind to just meet up with them later? It was only to do a jump scare with some, like, you know, the jump scare music. And it didn't work at all. It was terrible. Then we got this other jump scare where it's Lacey and Jen, and they're looking to see if the killer had gotten into the house. And they're like, oh, the window to the bathroom is open in the shower. So Jen goes in there, and the door in the bathroom slams shut magically, like no one touched it. She turns around, she sees through the, you know, the opaque glass that Lacey is being taken away by someone, but it's a guy in a red hoodie, and they're like, oh, that's fucking Harris. I don't know why Harris would do that, but I know it's him because he's in a red hoodie. And then it turns out it's him. And then Harris shows up and goes, hey, what are you doing in this bathroom? And you're like, dude, why did you just spirit away one of the characters for no reason and then slam this door? And then come back like a second later and be like, hey, what's up? The jump scares in this movie are so dumb.
Dumb jump scares.
To the movie's credit, I will say there was a little scare in the beginning where one of the girls is out on the beach and she's using the flashlight, you know, to scan the horizon. And she sees the silhouette of a guy standing out there. Oh, yeah. That was kind of cool. That was good. But that was just Scott playing a joke on her. And that made sense because he's a prankster and that's what he's doing. He's messing with her.
And then he died. And then we have to listen to like 45 minutes of the movie.
Oh, and then you get the rest of the film without Scott. Scott, come back. Oh, no. All right. Closing thoughts. Those are my closing thoughts. This movie isn't good. Don't see it. I can't recommend this movie. I'm sorry.
I can recommend it to get drunk to and make fun of.
Yeah, it's, yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I was just way too bored to have any. You can't even get like the "it's so bad, it's good" entertainment out of this. It's just a flat film. Flat.
All right.
So you can find us
on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can at
theindiefilm.com.
We're on Facebook. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. Apple Podcast. 5-star review.
Dan, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
I just want to let you know. Like, that was great. You did a great job. You're killing it. Okay, guys, Necropodicon Network, we are hosted by them. We're on that network. We think they're all great. You should go check out necropodicon.com. If you go there, you can click on a link at the very front of the page to join the Discord and come talk to us, come hang out with us, you know, ask us how we're doing. Maybe we'll say, "Hey, we're all right." And they'll be like, "Well, how are you doing?" And you're like, "I'm doing pretty
I won't
good.
Say that.
My life's a mess." But yeah, we have a lot of fun there. And it'd be nice if you came join us. Anyways, if you really want to support the show, rating us 5 stars on the Appletons is great. But also telling other people is the most important thing. If you let other people know about the show, here's what happens. You tell one person, then they tell 2 people, then they tell 2 more people. And then our pyramid scheme of listening can continue, you see, and then profit. Okay, at the end, you get profit. You are your own boss. You were the boss of telling other people about the show. And isn't that really what
I want to be
about?
A boss of telling other people about the show.
Yeah, exactly. Don't you want to be an entrepreneur of someone else's podcast? Dan, you have the final word, baby.
Jared, if you ever needed my $25,000 that I had saved up for your business, I would definitely give it to you. But do not think twice about inviting me somewhere after you lose all my money, because I will bring my psycho bitch girlfriend that I just met, and she will murder you.
Oh!
Unnecessary Evil is the source for all things evil. Whether it's tips to write a better villain or tips on how to be a better villain. Part of the Necropodicon Network. Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce, easy to listen.